They're turning those on to Matthew chapter 5. And I don't know if this may be a couple messages on this subject. It may not. I'm not for sure yet. Just wondering how much of this I get through. There's actually two verses I want to read. I'm not going to read all the context. The context is what is traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. That traditional title is certainly appropriate, because where was he at when he preached this message or this sermon? He was on a mount, but he was also on a mount and preached other sermons as well.
Exactly.
So it's more appropriate, it would be a sermon on the mount, but it's generally called, the Sermon on the Mount. It's similar to where a little similar to what people talk about the Lord's Prayer. And usually they talk about what is in the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, you pray after this manner, our Father which art in heaven. Well, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's our prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. But this is what is traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. That's the background here. Yeah. That's the context of what this is. And let me go ahead and read the two verses. And I'm not going to read. There's a lot with these two verses that probably need to be looked at, some things pointed out, but just for the sake of time, I want to read two verses. Matthew chapter 5, the first one is verse 16. And this is a continuation of what our Lord is saying here, but look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, now turn over or look on over at chapter 6. This is the same message, same sermon. Remember verse 16. Let your light so shine before men.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now look at chapter 6. Same message. Probably just, Mason, I didn't go through to see how long it would take to make that statement and then basically to preach up to this point. But then look at what he says in the same message. Take heed. That lets us know what? Give care to this. Pay attention to this, right? Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. You see these two things? In the same message. This is not, and what I'm trying to point out is, it's not, it is vital, because it's not like Christ preached this on Sunday and then on Friday he preached something else, this next statement. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To where we then have to say, okay, he was talking about one thing here, but 5, 6, 7 days later he's talking about something else and says this phrase. This is two statements made in the same message,
yes,
probably within a matter of minutes, Because if you go through and read this sermon, and there may well have been other things said, but that it, whatever was said doesn't concern us for the present. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't recorded. But he says, let your light so shine before men. Then he turns around and says, be careful. Don't do your alms before men to be seen of them. You see that?
Exactly.
Now these two statements in the same message stand at the crux of the truth between Christ and him crucified, and the opposite of that is ego-driven, self-righteous religion.
Exactly.
They stand at the crux. One is a statement for the first, Christ and him crucified. The next is a statement against ego-driven, self-righteous religion, respectively. That is, the first is Christ and him crucified. So I'm going to state it right off the bat. The title of the message is, Let Your Light So Shine. But what is my light? Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
That's my light. Now someone says, why didn't Christ say it then? Well, there are actually two reasons. One, he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Or he would have.
Yeah.
Two is, it was not yet the time for him to overtly, in a very public way, declare that he was the Christ. As a matter of fact, there were some people who acknowledged that And there were even some miracles that he did
yeah.
because of who he was, the Messiah.
Yeah.
And it basically he told people what? Keep quiet about it.
Exactly.
Did he not? He actually even sometimes says, don't tell anyone about this.
Yeah. That's right.
Why? Because it was not the time. He was going to manifestly prove on the tree and in the resurrection who he really was, and then it would be clearly manifest.
Exactly.
Now, whether people like it or not, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact.
Yes, sir.
Because the fact is, you ain't going to find his bones.
That's right.
Because his bones are within him.
Exactly.
Seated at the right hand of God the Father. Mm-hmm. It's a historical fact. But, again, I say, these two statements stand at the crux of the truth between Christ and him crucified and ego-driven, self-righteous religion. The skeptics, when they read these two verses, and let us remember, these are not verses in one sermon here and another sermon here,
right,
where we can say the overall context is completely different. These are two statements within the what? The same exact message. Now, the skeptics scoff and mock. And what do they cry? When I mean skeptics, I mean this. Infidels.
Yeah.
Unbelievers. Men and women, boys and girls who basically believe nothing concerning the truth of Scripture. Skeptics. What do they cry? Contradiction. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? If you don't know the truth and you look at that, you're prone to say what?
Yeah.
Contradiction. One place he says, let your light so shine before men. In the next, and look at the context. I'm not taking time to read it all. He basically says, "What the good things you do, do it in private.
That's right.
Don't let your left hand know what your right hand does.
Exactly.
When you pray, go into your closet.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't have to do it. No. Don't do it at the restaurant.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you sit down to ask God to bless your food, do it privately so nobody even knows you're doing it. That's a more modern day application to it.
Yeah,
whenever you fast, basically, don't let anybody know you've been fasting. Now, you can look at me. There's not been a whole lot of fasting. And I will admit to you this morning, I am not a big faster. And whether I have or not is between me and God.
Yeah.
And whether you have or not is between you and God.
Exactly.
But I jump ahead of myself. Now, skeptics say contradiction. And I understand that. Because I understand to some degree the depravity and the darkness and the ignorance of the depraved mind.
Yep.
I've been there. There was a time when I read this book and it was full of contradictions to me.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Some of these contradictions were things that were impressed upon me by others, by what I was taught, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at other times, these contradictions welled up within my own soul.
Yeah.
That I was the author of the yeah. seeming thought of, there's a contradiction. And if you just read those two verses, Joe, if you put the two statements right beside each other and you knew not much else about truth or the truth of Scripture, you'd look at those two things and say Christ contradicted himself. But Christ did not contradict
exactly.
himself. It's the same thing, I think, as one of the Proverbs, and I didn't write it down. It won't be an exact quote, but it says, there is a command, there is instruction. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. And then I think it's in the very next verse, although I may be wrong, I think it's in the very next verse, it says, answer a fool according to his folly. Contradiction, the skeptics say, right?
Yeah.
No, the skeptics are just ignorant of truth.
Yeah.
They cannot get it,
yeah.
You see. It's beyond their grasp to bow down and say, God is true, and let every man be a liar, including myself. That's what the skeptics, that's the way the skeptics look at it. Now there are false Christians. People who profess to be Christians, but are not. And there are several different camps of false Christians.
Oh, yeah.
There are some who just don't know any better. They think they're a Christian and they're not. Yeah. Okay? There are people who are absolutely 100% sincere, but they think they're a Christian and they're not. And those camps, those kinds of people exist in both free will and free grace camps. It's not just the free willers out there that are all lost. There are free grace people that are lost as well.
Yeah.
It's okay. So I'm not pointing at them. I'm pointing at us, humanity. Yeah. They're a false Christian. There are others, though, that have heard the truth. Okay? They're aware. They have been made aware of or are aware of, whatever the case may be, the truth, but they reject that truth. Mm-hmm. And they supplant the truth with their own opinions or their own doctrines or their own ways or their own gospel.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, a false Christian is still a false Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
Error is error no matter what kind of error it is.
Exactly.
One of the works of the flesh, which Paul says in Galatians 5, are clearly manifest. One of them is, let's say, fornication or adultery, right? Immoral sin. Immoral sexual sin. You know? But another one is what? Heresy.
Yes, sir.
Which is religious sin.
Yeah.
May have nothing to do as per se sexual immorality, Mason. It may be against sexual immorality, but the problem is it's against the truth of God.
Exactly.
It's heresy. So, in other words, a false Christian is a false Christian. Okay? But the problem with all of these false Christians, just like the skeptics, they're probably contradiction. That's a contradiction. And that's where they stop.
Yeah.
But what does the false Christian do? What does false Christianity do? They confound and confuse.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what do? They try to mix these two things together.
Yeah.
Try to find some equilibrium between the two where they can pronounce what they think to be the truth from both of these passages being put together, and they can't be put together because they are exact opposites. You see? And when two things are opposites, an attempt to put them together will distort both.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? You've got two separate truths. Each one stands on its own ground. But when you try to stick them together, both become distorted. They have to be.
Yeah.
And I could even give you examples of that in the laws of physics. You know, the certain things are equally true, not contradictory, they're equally true, but separate.
Yeah.
But when you try to mix them together, you get nothing but confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of the opposites here, the differences. Look at it. One, let your light so shine. The next one is, take heed that you do not.
Exactly.
You see that? One is do something. The other is what? Don't do this. You see? Don't do something. Right?
Yep.
One encourages, yea, even commands, here's something to do.
Yes, sir.
And the other one is a here's something to do, but it's in the negative. Don't do it this way.
Yeah.
You see that? And let me point that out. Our Lord does not say don't fast. Does he?
No.
Our Lord does not say don't pray.
No.
Does he?
No. That's it.
Our Lord does not say don't give alms.
No.
Don't give. Does he?
No.
But he says don't do it like other people do it.
Exactly.
The way you do these things will be completely opposite from the way they do them.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something, that covers just about everything in life.
Yeah.
In other words, when I do something and I'm a believer, or you do something and you're a believer, and someone next to you does the exact same thing and they're an unbeliever, then we are to do it in opposite ways. Though the overt observance of it, Joe, may look to be exactly the same thing if you can see it.
Yeah.
Now, again, number one, I've got four of them to give you here, these differences, these opposites. One is let your light so shine. The opposite of that is take heed that you do not.
Exactly.
Secondly, He says, let your light so shine before men. Right?
Yeah.
He tells us to do that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The next one, do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Right?
Yeah.
You see the total distinction, the total separation? Number three, he says this, and I didn't read this part, but it's a part of the first verse, chapter 5, verse 16. You're like salt. You're like a city.
Yeah.
You're like a lamp. You're like something, right?
Yeah.
The second one, he says, don't be like.
Yeah.
Right? You are a city set on a hill. You are a lamp. That when people light a lamp, in other words, we're talking about an oil lamp there.
Yeah.
And you light that oil lamp burning by olive oil. When you light that lamp, you don't light it to set it under a basket. That's what I call asinine.
Yeah.
There's no need for it. And you're salt. But then he says, don't be like the hypocrite. Right? He actually calls them that.
Yes, sir.
He was not PC.
Exactly.
You know what PC is, don't you? He was not politically correct.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. If our Lord were to come on the scene today and it be his first coming as was here, he would be hated just as much today as he was then.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Because he would not be PC. He would not be politically correct. I seen on the news this morning. Let me give you this one. I seen on the news this morning where some group of people, I don't know if it's state, federal, they didn't say, but some group of people is trying to make it illegal for the police that when they describe a suspect to say it was a black suspect or a white suspect or a Chinese suspect or a suspect with dreadlocks, and you think that's stupid, but that's the way things are.
Yeah.
And they're getting worse. You're right. No, you are like this, then don't be like not just that, but don't be like them.
Yeah.
Do you see that? He personalizes it. Don't be like the hypocrites.
Yeah.
Don't be like the heathen.
Yeah.
You see, it wasn't, most people got this idea that Jesus Christ would walk around just trying to save everybody. Wasn't it? That's how they present him as. And there's some people, Christ tells his people, don't be like them. And if they're always going to be like that, or the fact that they will always be like that, it lets me know the fact that people are still like, they're still hypocrites, they're still heathen. And God still tells me today, don't be like them. But he also said this, don't be hypocrites, don't be like the heathen. He mentions that, but I'm going to add my phrase for the third one, and don't be like the half-wits. It just rhymes, don't it? Hypocrites, heathen, and half-wit. That's why I come up with that. But look at what he says. Look at why I say he said that. Chapter 6 and verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. So that's why he still called them a pretty rough name, didn't he?
Yeah.
Be not like the hypocrites, look, of a sad countenance. But it's not just that. For they disfigure their faces. And they're fasting. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the Lord. I'm hungry because of the Lord. I'm hungry because I got to do this. Now maybe I am exaggerating, but you know what? I don't think so. Because he said, they're hypocrites. What? Of a sad countenance, for they do what? They disfigure their face. This is not their faces are disfigured. It's not passive.
No,
they make it clearly evident. Boy, I've been doing this for the Lord.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
You see the difference?
Yeah.
You are light. Let me go back. You are salt. You are a city. You are a lamp. Now, don't be like these other folks. And there are some other folks that put on a show just so you will know or think that they are religious or that they're spiritual.
Right.
That's the third difference. Number four, there's a difference. The Father, the first one now, Matthew 5:16, the Father receives glory from men. Right?
Uh-huh.
Let your light so shine. Let me read it so I get it exactly right. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So we have the first day, the Father receives glory from men. The opposite of that is in chapter six, in chapter 16, men seeking glory from men. You see the difference there? And let me tell you something, it's a big difference. Let me give you an example of this. This is not a made-up story. It's the first-hand account from me. I've mentioned it before, but I've seen it happen one time. I was at a camp meeting in a religious assembly in Princeton, West Virginia. And at that camp meeting, at the beginning of that camp meeting, the person kind of, what would it be, what's the term? Somebody, he was the moderator of the camp meeting, kind of, you know, was there to control, you know, make sure everything went according to the plan. The moderator of the camp meeting stood up, and he used to pastor a church over here in Beckley, by the way, so you people from Beckley, you're not exempt from this, even though this happened in Princeton. He came from Beckley. I'm from Princeton, so I'll take my place, but this guy came from Beckley, too. Anyway, he's standing up on the podium. He's entered, you know, here for, you know, this is the meeting, and you're getting together, and all of a sudden, of course, when you're in a Baptist camp meeting, you got to take an offering. I mean, that's just, you just got to take an offering. And listen, I understand when you get people together, things have to be paid for. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But here's what this man did. We're going to take up the offering. We're going to pass the plate. He reached into his pocket, pulled out his billfold, opened up his billfold, and pulled out a $100 bill and showed it to everybody. And, of course, the plate's generally set right down in the front on the communion table. Well, that's a real good place for the place to sit, ain't it? But anyway, he goes over, drops the $100 bill in the offering plate after telling us all what it was. But that wasn't even the end of it. You know what he did next? He said, now, what I want you to do when we pass around this plate is when you pull out your billfold or you reach in your pocketbook and you open it up, when you see that 20 in there and you see that 10 in there, I don't know why he didn't say 100 and a 50, but when you see that 10 or you see that 20 and the Holy Ghost tells you to grab the 20 and not the 10, don't you be disobedient to the Holy Ghost. You grab that 20 and you put that 20 in there. That's exactly what our Lord says to avoid.
Yeah.
And that was a prime, and everybody was just, what a great guy, he gave 100. I think I had like a couple fives and a couple ones. And don't you know, that's a psychological trick. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God, because when I reach in my billfold to put money in that plate, don't think that I didn't think the Spirit was telling me to give the bigger bill. You cannot help but do that unless you know the truth and you know that man's full of it. Whatever it is. You're full of it. Christ said when you give your alms, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand does. Or even your left hand know what your right hand does, let alone the whole blessed congregation. He said, some men sound a horn. You know what that guy was doing? Sounding his horn. Yeah. Now, folks, I'm not putting him down. I was of the same ilk he was at that time. And I thought to myself, boy, I wish I'd have thought of that. How ignorant and how much darkness I was in at that time. Just didn't know. Didn't know, but I tell you what, was still just as guilty.
Exactly.
Just as guilty as that man who actually did it, Mason. I was just as guilty because I thought it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Do you see the difference there? The Father receives glory of men. That's the first instruction, chapter 5, verse 16. Chapter 6, verse 1, men, the whole thing here, well, let me read, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. They didn't just do it in the church building, they did it out. Well, I'm giving to God. Look at me. And people do that all the time, don't they? I seen a guy make change out of the offering plate one time. I think even then I was in ignorance. I thought, I ain't got the nerve to do that. Now what change it was, I don't know, and I wonder if he put in a 20 and pulled out a 50. Now, I'm not kidding you. I seen this happen. The plate came his way. He got up. He had his billfold out. He threw in this. And I thought, what in God's name is he doing? Found out later he was making change. Wait till next week. You know? Get change when you go to the store and buy you a Coca-Cola and then put it in next week. What was he doing? He was making a show. He had to give, but he didn't want to give what he had in his billfold, so he made change. And folks, I seen it happen. And somebody say, you're better than them. No, I'm just like that, apart from God's grace. I was a part of that kind of people. The opposites here. The differences are not just mere attitude or intent. You see what I'm saying? Now listen to me. The opposites here, these two things being opposite, it's clear they're opposite, right? I mean, anybody who reads this and doesn't say it's opposite really just can't read. The problem is deducing or, now some people would have to deduce, that's all they got. Other people, having been given light, they can see the differences.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why I said the one. But anyway, the opposites or the difference here are not just mere attitude and intent. It's not just the attitude you got when you do it. See, when Christ said, don't do this before men, he means don't do it before men. When you pray, go to your house and get in a room where no one can see you but God. Right? When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But then he doesn't stop. In other words, he's not saying, don't just, you need a different intent. You need a different motive. It's more than that, because he goes on and says, but thou, when thou fastest, do what? Anoint your head and wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast.
Exactly.
In other words, don't let them know you've done it.
That's right.
So you see? So it's more than just, well, I can fast and people can know it, but I've just got a different reason for it or a different intent. He basically says, don't do it in front of other people.
Yeah.
Now, folks, that is exactly opposite of almost the majority, let me put it that way, of the majority of so-called professed religion today. Because they think all of your good works are to be seen of men. He doesn't say that. He said there's some good works you keep quiet.
That's right.
Right? But there's others that are to shine forth like a city set on a hill. Like salt. It's like salt. It's for the whole serving. You know, I mean, how many of you gets a serving of peas and divides it in half and salts one part?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you do that for?
Yeah.
You know, salt the whole thing and put half of what you was going to put for the other, or, you know, double it. But this is the way religion is.
Yeah.
It's the way religion is. So the opposites or the differences here are not mere attitude and intent. In other words, when you do it, just do this for God's glory, not for men's glory. That's certainly true. You understand what I'm saying? Anything we do, Jay, should be for God's glory. It should be to God's glory,
yeah,
not men's glory. Not my glory, not your glory, not any other human being's glory.
That's right.
Other than the one human being, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But it's more than, that's true, but it's more than that. It's not do what you do for God's glory and not men's. It's that, but it goes beyond. It's more than just before men and to be seen of men. You see, because one, the to be seen of men, we're actually told not to do it in front of them.
Exactly.
Right? And he actually says that. He doesn't leave us to infer that. He actually says that.
Yes, sir.
In other words, 2 points here under this last one. That is, the Father receives glory from men. The opposite of that is, as our Lord warns against, men receiving glory of men. One, do your good works before men. The first one says this, do your good works before men in an evident way. Isn't that what he's saying? Now let's read it again. Chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine, how?
Yeah.
Before men.
Yeah.
And in such a way that what? Look at it. That they may see. You see, your good works. And then he turns around and says, when you give, don't let anybody know what's going on. When you pray, don't let anybody see you praying. When you fast, don't let anybody see. It's not even just don't let them see it. Don't even let them suspect it of you. Right?
Yeah.
As Tim James says, it's what he said when he was talking about this and in a message about evidence of salvation. He said, wash your face. Take a shave. Put on a new suit and come out like you ain't been doing nothing. Don't let people even think or suspect that you've been fasting. And you know what? That's what our Lord's saying, isn't it? So it's much more than just intent or attitude. It's much more than just before men as opposed to be seen of men.
Exactly.
Now, the to be seen of men is not just physical sight here. It means to receive appreciation for it.
Yeah.
To receive honor or glory for it. But it's more than that, is what I'm saying. So the verse says, do your good works before men in an evident way, versus, that is, as opposed to, when you give, keep it to yourself. When you pray, do it privately behind doors. And when you ask, ask and be done with it. Penny, that's what we were talking about the other night. Your mom said to you, you ask God for something, He knows what you need better than you do and better than I do. Now, there is a case for importunity, persistence.
Yeah.
But it's once you get your answer,
yeah,
then just let it go. And the fact is, you know this, if we believe God like we should, we express our concerns and our desires to Him, and then we ask for this, God, bow me to whatever you do in this matter.
Amen.
That's the prayer of faith. That's what that's where it's at. God, I want this. But whatever you do, bow me to it. To give you honor and glory in it.
Yes, sir.
And why could I not preach on that? Do it privately behind doors. Ask and be done with it. When you fast, don't let anybody even suspect you're doing it. Or that you've even done it. Now, the second thing under here. Under this one, that's the Father receives glory from men as opposed to men seek glory from men. The second thing is this, the works mentioned in chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, cannot then be the same as the works of chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Right?
Right.
I said thus far to basically get to that point. The works spoken of in the first part have to be different from the works in the second part, right? Because some works, he says, let it shine before men so that they can see them. And then the other one, he even lists a few. I don't think that's exhaustive, Mason. I think that's just a few key ones that probably stood out in their day that were probably really abused in that day. And oh, could I go through a list of the ones that are probably abused today? But I'm not going to do that. I've already given you a couple of them which relate to that. But he said, here's one group of works you do before men. Here's another group that you do what? Privately.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember, I was told this. This is secondhand. So whether it's true, it really happened or not, I don't know. But it's still a good story. But it does make a point. And I have no reason to believe it didn't actually happen. The place I used to be in attendance at, to be a member of, to be a part of, that I was a young upcoming preacher in. There were two families in that church. You know, I feel like I got to have soap to wash my mouth out when I said that. In that religious assembly, that religious place, two families, a husband and wife and a husband and wife, got together and came to Beckley to go to what used to be, it was a restaurant called Tiki Garden. Some of you may remember it, some of you may not. I liked eating at Tiki Garden. I wish it had took me, but they didn't. Nevertheless, they went to Tiki Garden. Now, the waitress or waiter, I don't remember which, but it doesn't matter whether it was male or female. The waitress, waiter came up to the table, and the first thing they ask you always, because I had been to Tiki Garden, is what? What do you think they ask you? What would you like to drink? And you could, and sometimes you knew exactly what they were asking you. Do you want a mixed drink? Do you want a shot of whiskey? Do you want a beer? And one wife The one couple looked up at the waitress or waiter and said, "We're Christians, we don't drink." And I'm sure it made that waitress or waiter feel about that tall. But that waiter or waitress was just doing their job. And there is nothing. Let me tell you something. If it's just not drinking that makes you a Christian, then everyone that has successfully went through an AA meeting is a Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The telltale of a Christian is one who believes in Christ and loves the brethren. There's your telltale.
Yes, sir.
Not as to whether they drink alcohol or not. The whole point I'm making is not when you go to Tiki Gardens, get you a mixed drink. That's not the point of this point. The point is this. They had to prove to someone, I'm not a Christian, and how dare you ask me if I want liquor. That ain't nothing but ego-driven, self-righteous religion. That's all it is. Here's it. As I said, here's the thing. That is not the kind of works Christ said, let shine before men. That's not it. It has nothing to do with it. That person is just doing their job. The works mentioned in chapter 6, verse 1 through 8, as I said, cannot be the same as chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And if you're here this morning and you're reading this and you're even concerned at all about it and you can't see that, something's really wrong with you. I mean, in more ways, not just spiritually, something wrong. Because that's quite evident, is it not? Some works, we're to try to let men see them, right? Put forth the effort for them to be seen. Others, keep it quiet.
Yep.
Now, the glorious thing is, somebody said, well, is there a list?
Yeah.
I wonder how many of you all thought that. I thought when I began, where's the list?
There you go.
You ever thought that way? If only I had a list. Here's what you show. Here's what you don't show. But you know what? If I had that list, you know what I'd do? I'd mess it up. If I had that list,
yep.
I'd mess it up. But there is, in a sense, a list. The works in the first one are trying to proclaim, to witness, to give testimony to, whatever word, adjective you want to use to describe it, to try to tell someone else about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one thing that's always public. Think about it. That's the one thing that's always public. Even if it's to a big group of people in a church building, or whether it's to one individual that God Almighty causes to cross your path or you to cross their path.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about, the crossing. Not that you try to find their path and interrupt them in it. That God Almighty causes them to cross your path or you to cross their path, and the opportunity arises. And you always do it how? Publicly.
Yeah.
That's why this garbage. Let me give you another illustration. I've told you this one before. I used to drive a truck, and I made deliveries to Charleston. I was coming back from Charleston, stopped at one of the rest stops, and had to go to the restroom. I am rolling out the toilet paper, and someone has unrolled it partially, stuck a Bible tract in it, and rolled it back up. And the Bible tract falls out when I pull out the toilet roll. That is not a city set on a hill. Is it?
Right.
Now, is it?
No.
That is thinking that I'm so important, I got to stick God's word in a toilet roll. You know what I'm saying? No, God intends for this thing to be personal to people.
Yes, sir.
That you as an individual talk to another person or persons as individuals and present to them the person and work of Christ. That's always public. Now, granted, you might could do it, David, through a letter. You know, through a phone call. You understand what I'm saying? But it's still to be a personal thing. Not just that we're going to flood the community with Bible tracts and maybe God will save somebody.
Yeah.
That ain't the way God Almighty purposed to do it. What did he say? It pleased God by the foolishness of what?
Preaching.
Now, there is a certain thing you're supposed to preach.
Yeah.
Well, Paul said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, so that's not my message. Christ sent me to preach him, the cross.
Yeah.
He said, it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. Right?
Yeah.
That's the thing that's always a public thing. That doesn't mean you have to go out and have multitudes, but you understand what Christ is getting at here. Let your light so shine before men. What is my light? Me? Am I a light to men? Is Walter Pendleton and who he is in all that I am, is that a light to men? No, sometimes it'll be blindness to men.
Yes, sir.
My personal character has nothing to do with that, does it? The light that we're to shine, the light that we are, and the light that we're to shine forth is a reflected light.
Yes, sir.
When it comes from us, like the moon. We say the light of the moon. You know what? That ain't true. Except in one respect, in that it is reflected light from the sun. The light, the moon has no light.
That's right.
It makes no light. It has no intrinsic light. It's just a ball of dirt and whatever, dust, whatever it is, out there. And David, even the earth has some light. Think about it, the earth, because volcanoes have, there's light that comes out of that, isn't it?
Yep.
The fire with the light. But the moon is nothing but reflected light, and that's what we are.
Yep.
But let me tell you, is that to mean I'm supposed to reflect Christ by showing people how much I put in the plate? Yep. No, because he tells you when you put it in the plate, do it secretly. Right? I'm going to let people see Jesus in me. So when I go to the restaurant, every time before I eat, I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm not going to say a prayer. I'm going to do it like this. You know? You see people like that?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why? They want to be seen of men.
Exactly.
Now, let me give you something. People can be angry if they want. Why do men wear crosses around their neck?
Yeah.
Why? Why do they put it on their tie lapel? Why? To be seen of men.
Exactly.
There is no other reason. God don't need that. And you are not honoring God by doing that.
No, sir.
It's to be seen of men.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you're saying I'm lost because I wore a tie pin with a cross on it. I said no such thing. But let me tell you something. What you're doing, you got your reward. When somebody says, I like that.
Yeah,
when the free willer comes up and says, I like that. You got your reward.
Yeah,
when you sing in a different way than everybody else sings. Right? And sing different words too.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched. I'm going to tell you what I watched because I embarrassed myself. But it was. And Penny watched with me. But I have to admit, I was the one that suggested it. And we watched it. It was clean. There was nothing wrong with it. It was a Bible, you know, a game show with the Bible. They were answering Bible questions. Anyway, we were watching it. And what was I going to say now? In between, you know, at the beginning and the end of every commercial break, they had the little gospel people up there. And I told Penny, I used to hear music and tunes like that when I went to hear Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, there you go.
And when I went to the Doobie Brothers at Salem, Virginia at a concert, that was the same beat.
Exactly.
And that's what they were doing too.
Yeah.
Why did they do that? To be seen of men.
Yeah.
And of course they panned to the crowd and everybody just does God need that?
No.
That's what the heathen do.
Yeah.
And that's what the hypocrites do.
No,
if you do something publicly, let it be a testimony to the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Everything else, keep it as personal and unseen as humanly possible.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with praying when you go to a restaurant, but I don't have to make a scene about it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what our Lord's saying. There are some good works that we're to let shine before men, and they're a light. But what are they? The testimony of the person and the work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Because that's always public, even if it's to one individual in a private room.
Yeah.
That's always public. Everything else, Joe, could be kept silent.
Yeah.
Because if you try to look at my personal character, somewhere along the way, you're going to be stumbled up. Now, that doesn't mean our personal character doesn't matter at all. And God willing, we'll look at that more later, but I've got to stop here. But that's our light. Let your light so shine. What light is that other people are supposed to see? It is Jesus Christ's person and work. Everything else we have not only the right, but the command to keep it as secret as possible.
Amen.
And that's where it stands. Father, teach us these things by experience. Lord, how faulty we are too. Don't mean to point the finger just at other folks. How faulty we are. We realize these words were to, in effect, your people, about the hypocrites. These are words to us, about others, that we be not like them. But Lord, not for our glory and our honor, but for your name's honor and glory in the person thy Son. I ask you in Christ's name. Amen.